This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Thanks for listening to WSOY on NowDecatur.com. This stream is presented by Hickory Point Bank, Invested. Our investment in Decatur is an investment in everyone who calls Decatur home.
Schools, including private schools, Republicans pushed back, asking how the measure would impact sporting programs, even military schools. The bill heads to the Senate. Sticking with politics, Governor Pritzker is continuing to push plans to eliminate almost $1 billion of medical debt owned by Illinoisans, with $10 million from his proposed budget. Pritzker says 14% of the state's population has medical debt in collections, with minority communities disproportionately impacted. Pritzker's plan would have the state partner with Undue Medical Debt, formerly known as RIP Medical Debt, a national nonprofit. Pritzker says the deal would have one penny of taxpayer funds buy back and eliminate every $1 of medical debt. For more on the goings-on at the State House and other stories, podcasts, and videos, visit our website anytime. You can find us online at nowdecatur.com.
They picked 7 jurors so far. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. They need 11 more to put former President Trump on trial in New York, charged with falsifying records over 2016 payments to keep an alleged affair quiet. But there's no court today. Fox's Brooke Singman reports.
Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg filed a motion to hold former President Trump in contempt, claiming he violated his gag order by posting to social media about Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels, both of which are witnesses in this criminal trial. But Trump says Bragg should be focusing on violent criminals instead.
There are hundreds of murders all over the city. They know who they are. They don't pick them up. They go after Trump.
He said that while campaigning after court in Harlem in a different part of the city, the Bronx. Masked gunmen on scooters shot at a group of men on a street corner, killing one, wounding 3. Police investigating it as gang-related. Senators will be sworn in as jurors today after House Republicans delivered impeachment articles against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas over record illegal immigration.
The House accuses him of breaking the law and violating the public's trust about the border. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer wants to finish the trial as soon as possible.
That's an abuse of the process. That is more chaos.
But most Republicans warn Democrats against short-circuiting the case without a final verdict.
Fox's Chad Pergam. Democrats could dismiss it, calling it a policy dispute. As House Republicans bicker, even threatened House Speaker Mike Johnson over a possible vote this week on additional military aid to Ukraine, Russia's gone on the attack again, killing at least 13 Ukrainians.
We're told 3 missiles struck near the center of Chernihiv. According to the city's acting mayor, the target was an 8-story building in a densely populated area. President Vladimir Zelensky, in the aftermath, renewing his calls for the West to provide better air defenses. The holdup in Washington over an aid package has left Kyiv short of artillery, ammunition, and vehicles.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Former Senator Bob Graham has died, a Democrat who was also Florida's governor. In 2004, he ran for president. Graham was 87. America's listening to Fox News.
You know, since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans. They support America's heroes, heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull. Now, Major Turnbull sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber. Tunnel to Towers gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. Join Tunnel to Towers. They're hoping all of us will donate $11 a month so this great work continues. Their website, the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Well, former President Trump was in court in New York, claiming his first criminal trial is election interference, keeping him away from campaigning. President Biden was in Pennsylvania, and he'll be there again today, a second day in a row.
The president kicked off a Pennsylvania tour in his hometown of Scranton.
I learned a lot here in Scranton. I learned that money doesn't determine your worth.
President Biden using the visit to contrast his tax plan, raising rates for top earners, with his Republican opponents, former President Trump.
You learn that telling people you're fired was something to laugh about. I guess that's how you look at the world when you're in Park Avenue, Mar-a-Lago.
The president speaks with United Steelworkers in Pittsburgh today ahead of a stop tomorrow in Philadelphia. Pennsylvania is expected to be one of a handful of states to decide the presidency in November. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
It may take longer for the Fed to cut interest rates after Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said inflation's not coming down as much as they'd hoped. A rate cut may not come till June or maybe later. On Wall Street, stock futures are rising the day after the Dow snapped a six-day losing streak, gaining 63 points, but the Nasdaq dropped 19. The NBA playoffs started last night with Western Conference play-in games.
The Lakers have a date with the defending champs. LeBron James and the Lakers beat the Pelicans Tuesday night, 110-106, behind 23 points, 9 rebounds, and 9 assists from James. Zion Williamson had 40 points, but exited the game with 3 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter with an injury. The Lakers will face the Nuggets in the first round, while the Pelicans still have a shot at the eighth seed.
Fox's Joe Morgan. New Orleans will play Sacramento for that final spot tomorrow after the Kings blew out and knocked out the Golden State Warriors 118-94. Now tonight, it's the Eastern Conference 2 play-in games. Philadelphia versus Miami, Atlanta against Chicago. On the ice, the Washington Capitals clinched the last NHL playoff spot, beating Philadelphia 2-1. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Hey ladies, get ready for a night of fun and golf. Join us at Overlook Adventure Park on May 9th for Playing 5 to 9, the ultimate ladies' night out. Grab your girlfriends and enjoy 18 holes of mini golf with some exciting perks along the way. Get ready for surprises, vendors, special treats, drinks, and appetizers on certain holes, making your mini golf experience even more enjoyable. Don't miss Playing 5 to 9 at Overlook Adventure Park on May 9th.
Good morning. Here's a look at your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast today. Mostly sunny and breezy, high of 72. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 51. For Thursday, showers likely, possible thunderstorms, partly sunny, high near 74. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 58. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 63 degrees. Your WSOY time is 6:06.
Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Byers and Company. We'll check in with Clay Gerhard, Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports, Drew Early from DMH, and our buddy Eric Hector from Millikan University. The company starts now.
Byers and Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and howdy do. We're back here on a Wednesday morning. Hope you're having a great start to your day. Lot going on. But we start with the rest in peace to Whitey Herzog, to Cardinal fans everywhere. That was Whitey ball was some of the most interesting baseball in the history of the Cardinals organization.
Yeah, no question about that.
92 years old.
Yeah, he looked it. I saw him the other day at opening day. He was there.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah, he didn't make it down to the field. He was up in a box. I think it was his last big public, well, obvious big public appearance, but I think it was his last public appearance.
Well, I would think it would have to have just about been. He died in his sleep, evidently. You know, his real name was Dorrell Norman Elvert Herzog. And that makes you understand Whitey more than anything. I'm not even sure where, you know, he had premature, white hair.
No, it was, I read about him yesterday because I thought, man, I don't know a whole lot about him. In his pro career, he looked like another guy who had the nickname the White Rat. And so that's where it came from.
A Yankees pitcher.
Yeah.
Bob, the White Rat. Man, those are two awful nicknames, to hang on people for their entire lives. Right? Cause at the time, I don't remember thinking much of it, but when you say the word Whitey today, it just got a whole other connotation.
Yeah. It's weird because it works for him. Any other use of that is probably not good.
Yeah. I know. You're getting into Dave Chappelle, territory. You know, he was a great manager. You know, the Cardinals won a World Series with Whitey Herzog without doing much at the plate.
Yeah.
It was a weird dynamic baseball of being fast and quick and stealing bases and pitching and a lot, you know, wasn't the home run ball game, you know, that later, you know, was ushered in with, you know, Murderer's Row and, you know, Mark McGwire and Scott Rolen and those kind of guys. It was, you know, it was get a runner over to second, you know, get a squeeze, steal home, you know, those kind of, you don't even like see that in baseball anymore, do you?
Not to the level where they were all in on that. That now it's just easier to put up runs when the ball goes over the fence.
Yeah.
And guys are strong enough to do it.
He was at the Royals, the Kansas City Royals, for three straight Western Division titles from 76 to 78 and then, moved over to the Cardinals in 1980. He was there for a decade. They won the 82 World Series, and won the National League pennant, and were in the series again in 85 and 87. I mean, they were there a lot in those 10 years.
Yeah, lost that one to the Royals, in 85 and, yeah, I didn't realize how much he had sort of bounced around or how long his career had different chapters. He just feels like a Cardinals institution. But yeah, great Cardinals legend.
Yeah, for sure. And he just had a style. There was just, you know, the haircut, the whole, you know, it seems to me like in my youth, and this certainly would have been, you know, 1980, would have been, you know, probably in the eighth grade, so more high school and beyond while he was coaching, but there just seemed to be more characters, like the names, the look, you know, baseball was always kind of a quirky place.
There still are.
The nicknames, I don't know. There was just something very quirky about baseball at that time. I mean, literally, his nickname came from a guy they named the White Rat. I mean, that just doesn't seem like a name you would hang on somebody in 2024. We're going to call you the White Rat.
Yeah, that seems like from a time before.
Anyway, I was sad to hear that. I didn't have any idea he was at opening day.
I told you that.
You railed off a number of names. I don't remember you saying Whitey Herzog. I'm sure you did. It didn't resonate with me. He was always there as a part of it, you know, years ago. But he's 90. He was 92 years old.
Yeah. He had a blanket over his lap and everything. And they were trying to get his attention to, and then once he realized he was on the Jumbotron, he gave the wave and everything.
Nice.
Yeah. It was cool.
He was born in Illinois.
Yeah.
New Athens, however that's pronounced. We do things different with the Greek names here in Illinois.
Yeah. I learned all that stuff yesterday. I knew none of it.
Died in St. Louis, so he stayed there, all those years, which is kind of interesting. He played baseball, professional baseball, and then had a long, long, long coaching career. I feel like I was watching the very end of maybe Pardon the Interruption yesterday, just sort of skipped through to, and Michael Wilbon was talking about how it just doesn't seem like today managers in baseball have the same sort of cachet they had in the past.
Yeah, I would agree, but it's to the point that you always make about the NFL is show us the numbers, show us the results, or move along.
Yeah, but I mean, but they don't get the credit. I mean, they're kind of seen more, not an afterthought, but they just don't seem as important today in giving the success. His point was, like, if an NFL coach is a great NFL coach, a lot of the credit to the team winning goes to the coach. In baseball, that seems to have changed over the years, and the managers seem more interchangeable and not, they don't get the credit for the team. They get the blame. Everybody always gets the blame, but they're not seen as important in baseball today as they used to be. I don't know if that's true or not. This is two guys that have been writing about sports for 40 years. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't see. I don't have that same perspective, but I mean, they probably watch way more baseball than I do.
Who's the Cubs manager?
Joe Girardi, Craig Counsell.
Okay.
Yeah, big money deal. They brought him in to win. I mean, that's actually the example to counter their point. It's like, we're going to go out and get the dude that we think's going to take us to the promised land.
There's also, like a lot of sports, we'll go out and get the dude that was 500 there, and he'll be 500 here, and then we'll be 500 there. I mean, in baseball.
I know.
There's a lot of that sort of White rotating. Sox. Like, we'll just go from this club to that club. Even Whitey Herzog at the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tony La Russa was brought in to do it for the White Sox. It was a disaster. It didn't work out.
But no, that was not a great thing. But he was also, way up there in age, right, at the time?
Yeah, he was on the back of a Mustang going around. He was probably the oldest one there, I would think. Well, I'm real close to him.
He was not 92.
On the field.
Oh.
In a car.
Actually, in the car.
In the car, yeah. He was pretty much up there.
Well, people, Tony La Russa started, I mean, when was his, he's 79 years old, so he's 12, 13 years younger than Whitey Herzog. But when he first started managing, when? I mean, in the 1980s?
Yeah, he was in the A's. He had the White Sox. Trying to think of what else he did. Yeah, they were.
Right? He was named the manager of the White Sox in the middle of 1979 season. 1979
yep.
is when he made his managing debut. Think about that.
That was before I was born.
I know. I mean, it's a long, long time. So I'm still not sure what they were thinking there with the White Sox this last go-around. But evidently you think, well, you've been around forever. You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
We'll take the chance on some young guy. I don't know. Anyway, I got a couple of texts yesterday, Cardinal fans who were Spinks that he hated him. Let me read it accurately here. I hated him when he traded Ted Simmons, but all was forgiven 2 years later. Because that's what sports fans do.
Yeah, he made a great deal to get Ozzie Smith there, and then he made a bad deal trading away Keith Hernandez. I read about him that when his first coaching job, he did such a good job that that a team was going to be his, but the manager died unexpectedly, and he got skipped over. And then based on the work that he had done with the Mets, finding and developing Nolan Ryan and Tom Seaver and other names. And that was where he kind of cut his teeth and, storied career.
Yep. No doubt about it. So those were the days. And I guess if you're a Cardinals fan this year, you can spend a lot of time looking at the past because there's not much to look at today, excitement wise. So, Whitey Ball, pitching speed and defense. Would that fly today as a philosophy? When people want to see the home run ball, people want to see action, they want to see a lot of hitting. I don't know, I know there's purists out there, but most fans that want to go to a baseball game don't want to watch a game like squeak out 2-1 in the ninth inning on some sort of, hit and run.
I tell you what fans like as much as the home run, sometimes more, is somebody stretching a triple, and have
the hustle. Yeah.
The hustle. And if you have these fast players, that can play real quick and on their toes, I think fans would embrace that. They do in small batches. It's not a full mantra, but I mean, people love to see small ball when you just get knocking a guy home from first or him hustling to get to second and scoring position. Yeah, it's still big part of the game.
I guess I think the home run chases sort of like, you know, you go back to Sosa and McGuire and that era of, now I know it's tainted by all of the stuff, but no one was complaining about the stuff while it was going on.
No. Ronald Acuna, who's maybe the one of the top 2-3 players in baseball, plays for the Braves. He got like 700, so many stolen bases and home runs, and he is that hustle kind of player, almost like Ricky Henderson. And he's so exciting, not because he hits as many home runs as the big guys, but because he might take a double and get all the way home.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's still a palate for
it. And you had, you know, at that time, Vince Coleman and Willie McGee and those kind of players. Yeah, there, no doubt. Married his high school sweetheart, Mary Lou, and still was in St. Louis all those years later. So 92, that's a life. I mean, I can't even imagine the stories that guy had to tell. I mean, at 92.
Yeah.
How old is baseball?
Abner Doubleday made it.
I meant like the major leagues.
Oh, yeah, major leagues. I don't know. Yeah, the sport itself dates back into the 1800s.
No, but I mean, when you think about modern times, I mean, you know, he was there for a big chunk of it.
92.
As a player, and then, you know, literally made his debut in 1956. Wow. So from.
Oh, do you know who beat him out for his playing time was Mickey Mantle?
Really?
Yeah, that's what I. And the way it was written, you know, losing time to a young kid named Mickey Mantle.
Yeah. Like, oh, and then even, you know, Gussie Bush and, you know, all the names that come up with it. And we went to a Cardinal game years and years ago. I had a friend that was a cameraman, not Jim Gibbons. This would have been a long, long time ago. And we got a chance to, we had some passes that we maybe should or shouldn't have had and got to go onto the field.
Yeah.
For one of the games. If it was opening day or 4th of July, it was one of those like big games where they had a lot going on the field before the game started.
Yeah. In the new one or the old
Bush? The old one. Okay. Well, not the old,
but Bush 2.
Bush 2. And you're out there on the AstroTurf, and I just remember like turning around and almost bumping into Whitey Herzog. He was like right here. And all he said, he had the sunglasses on, you know, he's standing out there, the number 24, kind of the gut. And he goes, what a beautiful day for baseball. You know, that's nice. It's just like a cliche kind of thing.
And it was just at the ready for a stranger. That's where they're not supposed to be. Yeah. Not get out of my way or anything. Yeah. It's just
look at where we're at. He was soaking it in and cool. Like, this is a game for, what a day for baseball game.
That's a cool memory.
Yeah. Always liked him.
Yeah. Sad to see him go.
Yep. I'm glad you got a chance to see him there for the last time. That's kind of cool. I, you know, you were listing off all the people that were there, and you know, I hadn't thought about Whitey Herzog in a long time. He's always been a part of those opening day festivities for a lot of years. And back in the day, you know, maybe 10 years ago or something, you know, he was a little more active, you know, would have been there in the red blazer and the whole Hall of Fame thing. But when they bring the blanket out,
I think this was about the first, I might be remembering this wrong. I think this is the first time that he wasn't on the field.
Maybe. Maybe he's always a part of that sort of stable of people. The blanket's not a good sign.
No. He was up in it was a cold day, to be fair.
But the blanket is always sort of, when they bring out the blanket.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you for future reference in life. And I don't mean the picnic blanket. It's like when it's, you know. You're there in quilt. July, and they got a quilt around you. Unfortunately, that's one of the telltale signs. All right, we have a whole bunch to get to here today. Clay will join us from the Park District. I think there's more concert announcements coming. Drew Early will be with the CEO of Memorial Health Care here in Decatur. We've got golf. Masters ratings were awful, just awful. And you can correlate and look at the split with this LIV thing and the PG. I mean, you can literally go back and just see exactly what it has meant for golf overall. I mean, there's not even a I don't think an argument against it.
No.
It has meant a lot of awful relationships and bad feelings and all these kind of things. I thought John Rahm looked miserable in Butler Cabin, doing the green jacket exchange thing. And he said that there were people that you know, he had a miserable experience tournament wise. He just didn't play very well. But he said there were people that wouldn't even look at him.
Sure.
I'm not sure why he's surprised about that.
I doubt he's surprised, but I'm sure he's just saying.
No, acted kind of, the reaction was, and it was in Spanish, to Spanish media, maybe he's a little more comfortable, in his own language and talking to people maybe he knows, but he just, they kind of go, well, I'm going to complain about this, but it doesn't matter to me. I'm sure it does. You're a human being. These are people you've known for a long time. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff hurts. Mm-hmm. Whether athletes are ever going to admit it or not. No one likes to be treated rudely that way.
Ignored.
Yeah. Or just won't even look at you.
Yeah. That's.
And I don't know. He was having a bad week. He just sat there. I mean, Robin Williams once famously said about, how royalty always looks like someone's holding a small turd in front of their nose. Yeah. That's what he looked like in the Butler Cabin during that thing when, as the past champion, it is your job to sort of put on the jacket, which is the most uncomfortable, awkward thing. There's nothing about the experience at Butler Cabin after the Masters that is anything but cringy TV in right. The best of times.
Right.
I mean, when there is a division and split down the middle on players and everything else, it's just awful TV.
Yeah. Well, fortunate for them, not too many people saw it.
Yeah, well, no, I'm just saying, unfortunately for them, not many people saw it because they've always got whoever the chairman of the, which is, guy who's, maybe or maybe not, a great communicator. And then you got John sitting there with just this like distant sort of like 1,000-yard stare, going on. You can tell he doesn't want to be there. Scotty's happy. You got the amateur who's now the biggest meme in all of anything. You talk about like ratings because he keeps shifting his eyes over here and people don't know what he's looking at in the room. And he had the weird question with Tiger Woods and the low amateur because the low amateur gets to come in. So we start out with the guy who doesn't know anything about the media, the chairman of Augusta National. You bring in the kid who's the low amateur that made it all the way through the final end, and you got last year's champion who was like 27 over, what do you think you're going to get?
Right. He's like, I was in 74th place. Why am I here?
Just a recipe for television disaster.
Take your jacket.
Yeah. But that's part of it. And as past champion. And that's why it means so much to these guys, because they are now part of a lifetime club, right? They used to do the Saturday Night Live thing, where they give you the smoking robe, when you had hosted it five times. You're there for life. You get an invitation to come back and play the tournament as long as you can play that tournament once you're a winner. You get your own locker, all of this stuff. And part of that is that stupid, awful TV, awkward moment of you trying to help a guy, another dude, put on a coat.
Right. An ugly one.
Like, always, because like guys know how to put on a coat. Guys, for the most part, did not grow up having someone else put a coat on them.
Yeah, sir.
So the maneuver is completely the opposite of what you would do to put a coat on yourself.
Right. Right. They're in control of the adjustments. You just got to put your sticks out there and let them try to loop them on.
So you put a coat on today. You're probably either a left or a right, meaning sleeve first. And then the second move to do this. When some guy's just holding the shoulders, you're trying to find the armhole. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just so awkward.
It's weird.
And then we now know, because of the Pat McAfee show, what the amateur guy was doing, because he was on yesterday. There was a weird exchange in his post-press conference after his round. And then in Butler Cabin, he had this weird look where he was looking off to the right and became this huge meme of like, what is this dude looking at? And so there was evidently a reporter saw a note passed. The Tiger Woods, who played with the low amateur in the final round on Sunday. Okay, so now you're there. You're a young kid. You're not a professional. You're good enough to be, literally invited to the Masters, but you're in the final pairing with Tiger Woods of your four-day experience. You made the cut. Fantastic. You played as well as John Rahm. And then you get this media, you know, stuff that you're probably not used to.
Sure. Is the pairing with Tiger a coincidence?
Coincidence.
Okay.
That was just the score.
Okay.
Once you get to Sunday, it's just
right
top to bottom. And the reporter said, I saw Tiger Woods write something down on a piece of paper and hand it to you. Can you tell us what that was? And he kind of like, he looked around like he was looking, like they've always got a guy there who's like running the media, you know, sure, like over. And then he said, that didn't happen. And the reporter goes, oh, well, you know, and he goes, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And he was looking, trying to, because he said he couldn't figure out who was asking the question because they've got this media scrum.
Oh, okay.
And you're up there sitting on kind of a dais, you know.
And the speaker is probably non-directional.
And the stuff's coming at you and you don't really know what, you know. And then there's also this thing, you know, now the big the gossip is, like, you know, you don't tell those Tiger stories or Tiger will never be your friend. You know, there's like this weird kind of keep everything secret. Or maybe the reporter didn't know what they were talking about. So he said he felt really stupid, but he couldn't tell. He didn't know who was asking the question. He didn't know where to look. And he was befuddled by the question because he said it flat out didn't happen. But the reporter's like, I saw it.
That's strange.
Nah, I mean, maybe hand him a scorecard, you know, like he autographed it or something. That's not a note.
Right.
But then he gets in Butler cabin and he's looking, he's got this weird look that is hysterically funny because he's got a different kind of haircut and the look just looks like, if you Google it, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. He said he was nervous as hell and uses his own language to describe himself and how much his friends are like busting his chops over this whole thing because he was trying to find the teleprompter because he was so nervous about what his part was going to be. Mm-hmm. And so you get this awkward moment of him looking like just
this poor guy. He looks sad.
That's me.
Like nervous. Yeah. Or just I don't, why am I here?
But he was very funny on the Pat McAfee show. I watched a clip of, I don't know if he was on the ESPN or the YouTube part, but I watched a clip of it and he was really good natured about the whole thing, making fun of himself.
His name's Neil Shipley.
Shipley, yes. Kind of a bigger kid. Got kind of the longer haircut, you know, you don't normally see so much of that in golf or whatever. But the look is just a perfect me.
Yeah, it is. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's an interesting week. He called it a dream week.
Oh, there was no doubt.
How could it not be?
I just think that, you know, you share a private moment on a golf course if something happened with the greatest golfer to ever live. You know, that's hero stuff.
Yeah.
And you probably don't want to run out and go, well, let me tell you what he said.
Right.
That's between the two of them.
Wow. He went to Ohio State.
Yeah.
And was last year's U.S. amateur.
Yeah, he's a great golfer.
Runner up.
Yeah. So he'll be a great, you'll probably see more of him. And this is probably, in a weird way, good for his career.
Wow.
I mean, because who else is talking about the low amateur at the Masters, you know, in the awkward Butler cabin? You know, he's a meme. He's probably the biggest meme out of the weekend.
No, that didn't happen. Thank you very much. Appreciate you all. That was it.
I'm out of here.
Get me out of here. Wow.
So kind of the baseball question, though, to bring it full circle before we take the break. Scottie Scheffler's boring golf.
Yeah.
You know, Scottie Scheffler is the guy that steals second and looks for the side. You know, he's not the big, you know, hit the grand slam. You know, he's just steady Eddie, you know, let people have their ups and downs. I'm going to be right here, you know, which doesn't always produce big ratings.
But he's not the only one on the tour in any one of them.
Yes, but he was, but he is the, by far and away, the world number one. So
right.
He is your, right now, your guy going into every tournament that odds are, you know, that guy has a really good chance of winning that tournament. And he's already won four, I think, this year.
Yeah.
You know, he's won two Masters, two Players Championships. He's a really swell dude and very likable, but he doesn't have the dynamic personality. He doesn't have any emotion on the course. I mean, he stays, you know, he doesn't get mad and break clubs. He doesn't bump and do all the stuff when he makes a great shot. He's just steady, and that doesn't necessarily translate to good ratings. And I think Tiger being completely out of it, you know, by the weekend, you know, I don't know what you have. Rory not
He hasn't won like a major in what, like over a decade?
Is that right? Roy?
Yeah.
Oh, it's been a while. Like
12 years or so, or some number that I was completely shocked at.
Well, I mean, he was right out of the gate and got his three, you know, but yeah, it's been a while. He's still world number two rankings. But if he's not in contention, you know, who are your superstars? And then you split it up and half of the people go here and half go there. Live numbers have never been good. PGA numbers are dwindling.
And the Tiger effect is pretty well at its tail end.
Yeah, I don't imagine that there's anything other than just him being there from here on out.
Yeah.
They were down 20%, by the way, the Masters ratings. And then yesterday, this whole thing about Rory going to LIV Golf, which seems to have just been completely made up.
He said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said $850 million in part ownership in LIV was what was the rumor, and he said he knows nothing of it.
And he said he's going to play on the PGA Tour the rest of his life. I mean, he was definitive in his... You know, it's not often you got to come out and make a statement about rumors, right?
Right.
And he did.
Is there any chance that they go, how about $1 billion in ownership and he takes it?
But $1 billion in ownership of what? What does it look like 6 months from now, 2 years from now? I mean,
this is like people buying.
Okay, but this is
planning a merger.
Okay, but what does that mean then for you if you own? This is the people putting all their life savings in True Social. It doesn't. What does that mean 4 years from now?
I
take the money. Yeah. If they were going to give you $850 million to come play in the LIV Tour, but $850 million in shares of a tour that you don't even know what it's going to look like in 2 years.
I think those shares will be shares in the PGA.
But you think that.
Right. But 850 is like, that's a bonus. That's just sitting over there.
He's not going to go to LIV. I mean, you can make up as big a number as you want. I mean, at what point do you get like, 850 wasn't enough, but $1 billion will be? I mean, you're assuming now that there's $150 million separating Rory's thoughts about LIV and his own soul.
Right. I mean, you think that there's really no chance that he changes his mind?
No.
Okay.
He's a buff on the history. He's a, you know, the prestige, the tradition, the legacy. I think he thinks this stuff, look, Nick Faldo, who, you know, like him or not. Yeah. And I've met him. He's a very, very friendly guy, you know, said, look, these guys are out playing resort golf courses in their shorts and they're making a lot of money, but they're not doing the same thing that the tour is doing, you know, meaning the DP, you know, the European Tour, the PGA, you know, playing the toughest courses, the hardest things. Bryson DeChambeau was the only guy within anywhere near being in the top 10 at the Masters, and he dumped all that on Sunday. They're playing the same game, but they're not playing it at the same level. And even with the Masters being down 20%, which is a big chunk, it's 8 gazillion times more than what LIV is drawing in viewership. Why would Rory, who's got enough money to be comfortable the rest of his life, you know, without doing anything else from this day moving forward, go do that?
The main narrative that I heard was, you know, the handling of LIV and
I can understand it being mad. I certainly could.
And the riff with the guy that's the head of the organization.
No doubt. That would be understandable of, you know, the hard feelings. But that doesn't take away from you being a part of the myth over here with all the great tradition and all the great stuff. And he doesn't need the money.
Right.
I mean, people can make decisions like turning down $850 million when you're worth $500 million.
Right.
Most of us don't have that luxury to sort of approach something, but going, nah, I can turn that down.
You're right about that.
Yeah. He's too much of a guy, though, that's steeped in the history of the game and wants his place in that. That's why he wants that fourth major. There's only 5 people that have done that career Grand Slam. That's why the pressure has gotten to be at a level where maybe it's too much now for him at the Masters.
Yeah.
He wants that piece of history more than the paycheck. You think about all the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that have done this over all of these hundreds of years, and to have 5 names on a list, and you want to be number 6.
You better get to it.
Well, he's 30, four. I mean, he's
got you only get one go a year.
I know, but he's got a lot of golf left in him.
Yeah.
He's not, I mean, he's not Tiger, you know, aging out on the other end. He grew up idolizing Tiger.
Well, for sure.
So I think maybe, you know, you get the pressure off of him, or however that, he's 34 years old. That's what I thought. Okay. We'll see. But it was an interesting day for all of that. When we get back here on the other side of the break, I watched a movie. I love procedural movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, meaning like Spotlight,
yeah,
or All the President's Men, particularly when it comes to the media,
mm-hmm,
which has been villainized so much over the last number of years. Fake news. People don't understand the work that goes into that. And there's a movie on Netflix called Scoop, or The Scoop. Nope, just called Scoop. And it is about the whole BBC interview with Prince Andrew and how it led to the downfall of, you know, with the whole Epstein, yeah, and all that. It is fascinating.
Hmm. Is it good?
Yes, really good.
Okay.
And I'll tell you about it on the other side of the break. We've got new cups.
Yep.
I got to be honest. I love the way they look, but I'm a little thrown. Every time I go to like grab it, it's not like my eyes going, that's not the thing you do.
It's been a while with those old black cups. Now you got the blue.
Brown. Were they brown or black? Brown.
They're mostly black. Trust me.
Really?
Yes. It's the texture of the paper that lightens it enough to.
I always kind of. I don't know. I mean, I don't think I ever consciously thought about like identifying it that way,
yeah,
but it felt more brown to me. It felt, yeah, like coffee.
Yeah.
But they're good looking.
Yeah.
I don't know what the logo is interesting to me. I'd like to know more about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's the marquee break in case you didn't get the gist of all of that. The magic is in our beans.
It took more than makeup, costumes, music and lights to get me on stage. It took the gift of an organ donor.
Nobody said it was easy. It's such a shame for us to part.
Be an organ donor, because life does go on.
Register at lifegoeson.com.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. Free.
Tuesdays with Tom, the podcast where real estate meets community. This week, join Tom and special guests Kevin and Sue Brihaney, two of the biggest cheerleaders in Macon County, as they dive into the heart of our community. Listen in as they discuss the past, present, and future of our community, sharing their insights, experiences, and hopes for Macon County. Whether you're a longtime resident or new to the area, this episode is sure to inspire. Tune in for a heartfelt and uplifting conversation with Tom, Kevin, and Sue. Available on NowDecatur.com and all major podcast platforms.
For 24 years, the Community Foundation of Macon County has connected the philanthropic goals of donors with community needs. This is Chris Lutt, Foundation Board Chair, and I'm honored to share that we have a new name, the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation. We've grown to over 400 funds established by individuals, families, businesses, agencies, and organizations to benefit a variety of community causes. Because of donor generosity, we've surpassed $50 million in awarded grants and scholarships, and in addition to serving Macon County, we've now grown to serve neighboring counties, Piatt and Moultrie, in the heart of central Illinois. We're creating a better future through philanthropy that allows all to live, learn, work, and thrive. If you are interested in learning how you can work with the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation, call today at 217-429-3000 or visit our website at heartofillinois.org.
You're listening to Myers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Time to spend an evening with me.
That's an interesting choice. What are we doing today, Bump, music-wise?
Well, it's the first one we've played, and this is Frank Sinatra.
Well, I know it's Frank Sinatra. I know the song. I'm just curious what the list is.
No, that's the name of it. This is Frank Sinatra.
Oh.
Yeah, that was Frank and Nancy, obviously.
Yeah. That was...
And the only reason I played it is because I had...
Full-on nepotism.
Yeah. I hadn't heard that song in quite a while, and it was number one on their list. Now we'll start skipping around.
All right. That's great. Never going to get a complaint from me about Sinatra. All right. So, Scoop is a 2024 film that is on Netflix. You can watch it right now. First and foremost, one of the stars of this is Gillian Anderson, which I would watch her read Dr. Seuss.
She's awesome.
The way she inhabits characters, and in this case, she's playing a real-life TV journalist, right? I mean, so there's plenty of film. You can watch the actual interview, which was described afterwards, by the way. So kind of your starting point here, Scoop, the movie. The interview that the BBC Two News team, it's a program called Newsnight, did with Prince Andrew, the Duke of York, was later described as less a car crash, more a plane crashing into an oil tanker, causing a tsunami, triggering a nuclear explosion. And the story is fascinating because it begins in 2010 with a British photographer who's in New York City. They're on a beat. They're working, trying to get pictures of Andrew and Jeffrey Epstein together. And there's this whole kind of very taut sort of beginning of them trying to get this photograph.
I'm looking at the trailer that's on IMDb, just looking at it. Uh-huh. The visuals are, I mean, it looks high end. It captures the photographer trying to get the photos and how tight it feels claustrophobic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's a good thing. So
that's just the beginning, right? And then it flash forwards 10 years later, right? And this picture's been out there. Epstein is now getting ready to be raided by the FBI and put in jail. And this young woman, who was a true character by the name of Sam McAllister, who wrote the book Scoop, which was then turned into this production, she is literally a person there at BBC Two News who is in charge of getting guests. She's a producer.
And you're talking about the younger blonde lady?
Yes.
Not Jillian. Okay.
Yeah. Sam McAllister is her name. And there's Billy Piper, I believe, is the actress's yes. name. Mm-hmm. You probably remember her from Penny Dreadful and some other things. Rufus Sewell, who was almost unrecognizable as Andrew because he was just in The Diplomat, seen him recently. It's just really good, but it's in that sort of spotlight, the behind the scenes of how a story becomes a story and all the things that happen before it happens. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it looks phenomenal. It looks really, really good. Well shot. You can just feel emotion. I've got it on mute,
yeah. And
I'm only seeing the trailer.
And it's Sam McAllister trying to be taken seriously at BBC, trying to get them to not be so dull, and then her trying to negotiate with the palace to get this interview. So the intrigue is all, how do we get to the point? We all know what happens with the interview. It happened in real life. It's like the Titanic. You're there at the movie. You know the boat's going down.
Right.
It's
how do we get there?
How did we get there?
Wow.
Performances are really, really good. And it's been out for a few weeks. And I think maybe I brushed up against it or something and went, I don't know.
I've never even heard of it. Well, I have now.
So worth watching if you like that kind of movie. Reminded me a lot of particularly Spotlight, or All the President's Men, giving you a procedural thing about how a media thing that you already know is going to happen and what happens if it topples the whole, like we knew Nixon resigned.
Yeah, I always love how they find a path on it, and then there's always just a big concrete wall put up. You can't go any farther.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as you can go. Well, I got to get around that.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, I love that. I love those stories.
And Gillian Anderson, who plays literally the Newsnight anchor, who is a real human being, and you don't even realize until you start watching video of the real human being just how much of that character she inhabited. Hmm. The mouth, the facial movements. I guess it would be kind of lazy to say mimicking, you know, because that feels like it's dismissing the talent involved, but it's unreal.
Yeah.
She doesn't look exactly like her, but she inhabits her in a way that when you go side by side and start looking at pictures or video or like watching the interview, it's uncanny.
Wow. It works.
And I don't think it would even have to work. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I think she could just do whatever with it. But the way she played Margaret Thatcher in The Crown, you know, the way she is. And I don't think anyone go back in the day to the beginning of the X-Files would have thought that was going to be Gillian Anderson.
Oh, like a top crust talent.
Right.
Yeah, probably not.
With the accents mm-hmm. and the, I mean, where she literally just lives characters. Mm-hmm. And I liked her on the X-Files. That's not a slight. It's just she didn't seem like that she was going to be that.
A little one or two rungs up from made for TV. And then, but now she's like.
Oh, she's the best.
Yeah.
And I don't know. She goes in and out of the accents and stuff, and she's probably a big pain in the butt, like these method actors are. But man, whatever it takes, the in performance to me is entirely enjoyable to watch. Anyway, Scoop is the name of it. You'd like to check it out. It's definitely worth watching.
It's a good recommendation.
Yeah, I watched the Fox News one. The one about Roger Ailes and the women that were suing Fox. What was the name of that? Do you remember
I'm not going to get to it because I'm thinking of, the one with, oh my goodness. What's the guy's name from Gladiator? Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
And that was a few years
ago. Oh, that was about the 60 Minutes.
It was about, that was about Ailes.
Okay.
There were two.
Well, because we certainly needed two.
can you tell this just a little different?
Yeah. Bombshell is the one that I'm talking about that had Nicole Kidman and Margot Robbie and John Lithgow. I mean, there was quite a few people in that. I watched that and it felt kind of soap opery to me. Like I didn't have the same kind of feeling like I don't know. I think it takes like a Michael Keaton. It takes like, you know, somebody that like seems completely believable mm-hmm. and TV is always kind of one of those things where you kind of, I don't know. Oh, what was the other one? I don't know what you're talking about with Russell Crowe.
It was, I'm trying to look it up. The Loudest Voice.
Huh?
That was a series. It was a short series on Showtime and it was, the past decade of the life of Roger Ailes, founder of Fox News, and he was the Republican Party's de facto leader and was accused of sexual harassment, which brought his Fox News reign to an end.
Wow.
With Sienna Miller, Russell Crowe.
And see, you just gave me the story in 14 seconds. I don't know how you make a miniseries. I don't have any memory of that at all.
Yeah, that was in 2019. It was okay.
Okay.
I would call it like a 7 out of 10. It was fine. Actually, IMDb rates it 7.9. That's probably pretty fair.
So Russell Crowe plays?
Yeah, Roger Ailes. Ailes.
Yeah. How many fat guys can he play in his, like, in the second part of his career? Did he?
Yeah, this was pre, just show up, Russ. He has a suit on and makeup and all that.
Seth MacFarlane's in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he does a good job in that Michael Keaton kind of thing where he's sort of believable as the guy that.
You think he's a good actor?
Not great, okay. But he can do this thing.
Yeah.
The way that Keaton did.
I'm just looking at the characters. How are they? Well, I guess Naomi Watts played Gretchen Carlson.
Sienna Miller.
No, Naomi Watts.
They both were in this movie.
Sienna Miller plays Beth uh-huh. Tilson Ailes. She's the bad camp. I'm trying to look at all the other characters about like who's sort of the real. I guess there is somebody playing Sean Hannity. I have no recollection of this series at all for whatever reason.
Yeah. We talked about it. You weren't too interested in it at the time, but it's probably, it's okay. It was kind of like, six episodes.
Strange idea of but having like Seth MacFarlane as the number two actor in something alongside like Oscar award winning Russell Crowe seems odd to me.
Yes. I mean, it's like having Jeff Daniels, you know.
Jeff Daniels is a great actor. Yeah. You just dissed Jeff Daniels in a big awesome. Way.
I love Jeff Daniels.
All right. I'll go back and find it if I can. Give it a shot.
It's on Showtime, which means it's on Paramount Plus.
Well, you think. Back in 2019, that was a lifetime ago in licensing rights. Maybe it's on Paramount. I'll take a look. But I watched the movie, which was okay,
yeah.
But felt more soap opera-y than it did procedural kind of thing the way this did.
Yeah, this guy, the way they portray him, you kind of feel uncomfortable about it.
Which is the point. More than the Catholic Church or
No, I'm saying royalty? Like his presence makes you feel it. And you're like, oh man, don't talk to her like that. No, don't do it. You know, like he does a good job of getting it across. It's not like you're just watching somebody pretend to do a thing. You get some buy-in on it.
You mean Russell Crowe?
Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I got some buy-in on the royal family hanging out with pedophiles. I got some buy-in on the Catholic Church covering up priest crimes. I mean,
I'm talking about specifically the performance,
okay.
Not the topic.
Okay.
Not the topic.
See, that's, all right. Those are tough to do. Like I thought Veep was it not Veep. That was the series with Julia.
Yep. Right?
But what was the Christian Bale?
Vice. Yep.
Yeah. I mean,
Vice? Yeah, it was.
I respect him a lot as an actor, but I think some of these things are just kind of gratuitous ego trip kind of things. You know what I mean? I'm going to go so far outside of typecasting here, you know, that I'm going to be the old fat bald guy and I'm going to, that it feels like it's more about that than it is the storytelling sometimes with these things. Like it's an ego thing.
There are probably moments that you'll feel that with Russell Crowe.
Like Russell Crowe, I'll give you an example. Let's get it out of the lofty world of real stuff, like politics. He was terrible in Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
What was that?
I don't know.
And this is a guy who's made some of my favorite movies.
Inside Man.
Literally, you know, Gladiator, Insider. I will put up against anything. The true story about the tobacco industry in 60 Minutes with, you know, Al Pacino before Al Pacino was chewing up the scenery.
You know,
there were great performances.
Cinderella Man. Mm-hmm. Master and Commander.
Yeah. What was this Zeus thing?
I don't know. He's making some bad choices, I think.
He's getting paid, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. He just isn't that guy anymore that makes me want to run to something to watch the way when I say Gillian Anderson, I'm like, okay, I'm in.
Right.
That's all. Well, that was a long conversation about not a lot, but that's okay. Scoop, you can check it out, or you can go find The Loudest Voice. It's a dumb name for a show, too.
Yeah.
Was it the name of a book or something, or a... The Loudest Voice in the Room. It was a New York Magazine article.
Oh, okay.
But they didn't even take the whole, right? If you're going to go The Loudest Voice, why not just do The Loudest Voice in the Room?
Well, I think the idea is that it's not just the room. It's probably, I mean, Fox News was the loudest voice in the country, if not the world, for a while.
The country. There's
certainly the country.
You can't find Fox News in Europe.
Yeah.
Not sure how big it is in Japan or China or other places. It's a big world.
Still out large, there. Big voice.
Yeah. Well, now they've got competition. There's other things that are out there that they're all vying to do like whatever. Most of it's like get out of lawsuits without losing your entire company the last few years.
Yeah.
So how many months until the election?
Let's see. We're in month 4. Election's month 11, so 6 months plus.
We have a bit. I mean, I know it sounds crazy to say that there's a resting period here because you've got trials and wall-to-wall TV and
Biden's already campaigning,
stomping, yeah. And all of that. But I feel like we have a little window here where we are not being inundated with it. If you choose not to be,
yep.
I don't know how long that's going to last because these cycles are shorter and shorter. The old school way of going to Congress, like, you know, if you were elected, you'd go there and you'd govern, you'd have some time, then you'd come back and start the campaigning. Now that just seems 24/7, like there's no pause at all, whether it's raising money or, you know, doing whatever. And we don't feel like we get a break from it at all. Like it's just constant. And I don't know what this is going to look like between now and November. My thought is it's going to be really ugly. Really ugly.
Yeah, I think so.
And I'm hoping, kind of, I don't know how, maybe that sounds really naive to say, like, maybe we're better than that, or maybe we won't, you know. But I just don't, I saw Carrie Lake yesterday tell people to get ready to strap on their Glocks. And I think to myself, when you are running for office, should there not be any responsibility at all about words?
Right. What are you implying there? Like, strap them on, fine. Now what?
No, strap them on, fine. I don't think telling people to strap on their guns in a political context is anything but dangerous speech.
That's what I'm saying. It's an incomplete. You're saying you're not saying the thing that you tell them to do.
But you are. You're telling them to arm up.
Arm up.
And I see this stuff because there's days when I wake up and I go and I'm like, well, maybe we've been here before. You know, convention's coming back to Chicago. Okay, 1968, I was two, but it was pretty rough. We get through this stuff. And then you turn on the news. And you go, yeah, maybe not. All right, Clay's going to be with us next hour. We'll tell you how Courtney Love is helping to empower women. Not. And I got some details about Caitlin Clark's outfit. We've got a lot to get to. Don't go anywhere.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is RJ Crace with your stories now, brought to you by Shop on Main. Crossing Healthcare is looking for volunteers with green thumbs to help with its prescription garden program this month through October. They need volunteers weekdays from 9 to noon to help with weeding, prepping garden beds, and more. The prescription produce program at Crossing Healthcare Garden provides access to fresh produce for patients with health challenges, including diabetes, substance abuse disorders, and food insecurity. Qualified participants get a bag of produce and recipes to promote good eating habits. More info at nowdecatur.com. Speaking of plants, the U of I Extension Master Gardener Plant Sale will be May 4th at the Macon County Fairgrounds from 9 to 2. Annuals, perennials, vegetables, and hanging baskets will be for sale.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.